Last week, I shared with you a bit about praying in the Spirit and how important that was, and I talked to you about how I really felt that God wanted us to break us into some new areas and that God wanted us to bring us up to another level, and I shared about, it seemed like I got a confirming witness in that by Bishop Hammond the next day in a report that came forth, and it was just awesome to me. I believe that God wants us to stay focused and stay awake. Remember in that prophetic word that I read last week, Jane Hammond was woken up in the middle of the night by an angel who said, "Wake up, wake up." And she really believed that she was telling the church to wake up. So it's important for us to recognize that we are living in a world that needs to wake up. And I think the world will never wake up unless the church does. And we really realize that the church has to wake up to a lot of things. So before we go any further, I'm going to ask Marie if she would come up and lead us in prayer. And this morning, just we want to look at the Word of God for a few minutes before we participate in the Lord's Supper and get ourselves into a place where we're ready to receive the things of the kingdom. Because I know Marie has been carrying a burden of prayer as well.
When Pastor Bell shared last week about him having this burden of prayer, I was happy to hear that I wasn't the only one. I thought probably there was something going wrong in my life. But anyway, about a month ago, the Lord started urging me to pray more, and he even had me a lot of mornings get up at 5:30 in the morning. Incidentally, if the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep, pray. I mean, pray. He has showed me that. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're having trouble going back to sleep, make good use of the time. Don't roll back and forth and say, "Dear God, I can't get to sleep." Just pray. And you know, when you pray what God wants you to say, you'll go to sleep. He'll make sure of that. Anyway, to get back to where I was. I would get up in the morning, sometimes 5:30, 5:45, and I'd wash my face to freshen myself up. Sometimes I'd get a cup of coffee, sometimes I wouldn't, and I'd go in and I'd sit in the recliner with the Bible on my lap, and it would be nothing for me to pray for about 2.5 hours before to go to work. And sometimes in the evening for an hour and a half. Now, granted, that's easy for me because I live alone. But there's always the phone, you know, but you can shut that off. But I really feel that the Lord is asking us to push through on something. I really believe that revival is coming. I believe it's so close. And what is going to bring it on quicker is the way we respond to the call to pray. Mm-hmm. I really believe that.
Absolutely.
And I believe that we need to have a revelation of what sin is, and that the mm-hmm. the people around us, that God needs to show us what sin really is and not whitewashing any longer. And as Dalton was saying, you know, that these people think that abortion's okay. They think that homosexuality is okay. It goes against the Word of God. And people have to wake up, and the Holy Spirit can wake them up, but we need to pray and pray and pray.
Yes.
And there's sometimes when I pray in tongues, I'll be praying in one language and all of a sudden it'll change into another language. And I don't know what God is doing. I just go with it. And there's sometimes I pray with such an intensity that I actually feel an ache in my heart. And the Lord knows that I have a heart for the lost. And, you know, with what Margie was talking about, I think that's a great way to reach out. And just an act of kindness can turn a heart just like that, just in an instant, especially if the anointing of God is on it. There's no holdback. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this glorious day. And we thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to read the Word, to be enlightened by it, and to go forth the way we have been commanded to go forth, that we can reach out to our fellow men and give them hope, Lord, because in so many places there's little or no hope. And God, we can be that shining light, not a little candle. No, we're not meant to be a little candle. We're meant to be a light that can shine from a hilltop and shine everywhere we go, that people will see the light of Christ in us. So God, we praise you and we thank you, and we ask you to anoint each one of us with the spirit of prayer and the power of prayer to change everything, to change our surroundings, to change our own hearts, to change our families, and yes, even to change this nation, that the power of the living God will come upon this nation and it will change it, that we'll hardly know it's the same country, that people will be convicted of their sin. They will get out of their cars and get down in the ditch. They'll be so convicted they can't find a place any lower to confess their sins. And God, your anointing will change this whole nation. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. But it has to begin with us. It has to begin with our prayer. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You know, today it seems like there is such a need for a move of God's Spirit amongst us, and the only way that that comes is for people to come around in prayer. And if you look back into history and some of the revivals that has taken place, and I think of the Azusa Street Revival in 1906, and what happened there was God moved upon many people to pray. There was such a burden for prayer. There was actually people who talked about their praying. They'd get together and they'd pray all night long, and some would say it seemed like half an hour. There was such a burden of prayer that God was moving upon his people because he wanted to break out something new in the Spirit. And of course, Pentecostalism really came forth during that time, and it went around the world, and God blessed many, many people, millions of people, as a result of that move of the Spirit. I believe God wants to do that again. I believe he wants to break us into some new things that will overshadow the darkness that the world seems to be in. And one of the things also that were spoken so much about when just pre-revival times in so many areas was the fact that people needed to be saved. People needed to come into the kingdom of God, that people were in a desperate place because they were outside the fold, outside the kingdom. They had no real interest in the things of God. And, you know, I believe for the most part, where back in those years, people preached about the need for people to be saved and come into the kingdom of God. If they didn't, they were lost and going to hell. And today, we seems like we put forth carrots all the time, try to get people to come that way, and we get some converts that are really not converted at all. They just come in for the blessing. Just come in for the blessing because they want to be blessed. And it's good to want to be blessed, but if you're not converted, you're still dying and go to hell, whether you're blessed with good things or not. There has to be a born-again experience in our lives. There has to be a turning around, a repentance that takes place. And that, I think, again, that's another thing that the church has to realize is very much a part of the kingdom of God, is that repentance has to come to an individual. There has to be a heartfelt remorse of what we have been like, that we have turned away from God, whether we realize it or not. We have pushed God out and decided to go our own way. And repentance talks about a revelation that you have got about who you really are outside Jesus. Who you really are outside Jesus. And it's not pretty. It really isn't. Years ago, the preaching was all about, you're nothing but a worm, you're just a saved sinner, but you're still a sinner, and there's not one good thing in you, you're worthless, and all the rest of it. And that was one extreme. But now we got over there in this other side, and it seems that all we talk about is how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, how wonderful creation you are. And that all has its place. But outside Jesus Christ, we're individuals going to hell. Outside Jesus Christ, we have nothing to offer. Really, we don't. Outside Jesus Christ, the Bible says all our good works, every good work that we ever tried to do in order to gain a good place, the Bible says are nothing but filthy rags. Nothing but filthy rags outside of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm so glad that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And if we are found in Jesus today, we have every right to that abundant life. And we want to use it not only to bless our lives, but to be a blessing. I want to ask you this question this morning because this thing has kind of been stirring in my spirit the last couple of days about sometimes when you say, I am willing to die for such and such. Like Peter. Peter says, I'm willing to die for you, Jesus. I'm willing to die. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the night's over, even though you say you're willing to die. You know something? It's not that difficult to die for something. We're all going to die anyway, but it's not that difficult to die for something. I'm convinced when Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, but you're going to come back and I'm going to do something greater in you than your ability to die for me. I'm going to give you a reason to live for me. I'm going to give you a power to live for me. I'm going to give you an ability on the inside of you to be able to live for me and not deny my name. And I believe that's what God is saying to us today. We have a reason to live. It is easy to die. It takes much more of the Spirit of God to live for Him. And that God is saying that I want to release a power within my church that will show that my church is living for me. My church has decided that they are going to live their life glorifying my name, not being overcome by every temptation that comes along their way. I'm going to give my church an ability to be able to live for me no matter what the circumstance that they find themselves in, that they're going to shun the sin and embrace the good. That God is going to give them a power, going to give us a power, if we will have a desire to do that. Do we have a desire to live for Jesus? Do we have a desire to express Jesus Christ, like Dalton was talking about, to those around us, to our peers and so forth? Do we have a desire at all? Because if we don't, I really question our commitment to Jesus at all. There's going to come a day when we're going to see just how much our commitment is to Jesus Christ. Are we ready to live for Him? Are we willing to live for Him? Are we willing to pay the price to live for Jesus? I'm not talking about just being saved and making our way to heaven. I'm talking about, will Jesus find a church that has called upon His name who have said, I am willing to live for you? When He comes back, will He find this church? Will He find a church upon the earth that says, I am willing to lay down my life so that you might live your life through me? And that means I will have to let my peers go one way if they're not going the same direction. I'll have to take ridicule from the world if that's what it means. What's the scripture says? Very clearly. All who desire to live godly will be persecuted. Every one of us, if we desire to live godly, we will be persecuted. Now, this is not a message about, you know, getting down on us and condemning everybody, but I just want to exhort us that you and I are so blessed. We're blessed, blessed, blessed. We have so much. We have so many things that are so absolutely good for us, and the things that we enjoy, and we've gotten used to making sure that we're living pretty easy. We've gotten used to that. And all that is good. I'm not saying that God wants us to gravel in the dust and try to just make it through. I'm not suggesting that at all. But what I'm saying, in the midst of the awesome blessing that we have, let's not take for granted the responsibility that we have in the midst of the blessing. We have a responsibility to get out into the world and live for Jesus and glorify His name. You and I are called to that place as Christians. We are called, first of all, to join together with one another, to join together as believers. Jesus said, Father, I pray that they might be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. He said, I pray that they might be united, one accord, walking together of the same mind, the same faith, just hooked together. So we have that responsibility to walk with one another, to honor one another, to enjoy one another, to embrace one another, take time for one another. As we do that, we're seeking after His kingdom. But if we're spending our time involved in other things, if other things are our priority, if seeking first His kingdom is not our priority, we're missing it. Well, brother, I just got to get so many things healed up in my own life. I just got to do this and do that. I got to take this course, run here and run there in order to get my own self cleaned up. No, you don't. There's been too much of that stuff going on, people. We've got to serve in the kingdom. We've got to come to the place where we begin to believe God that He's going to come in and change our hearts in so many areas so that we're conformed to His image and not be caught trying to design something of what we should look like. We have to be sold out to Jesus, not to a particular program. For a while, and I get no problem with this running in a certain direction for a while and trying to find out where your roots come from and God can do a healing and so forth in you and all that kind of thing, and that's wonderful. That's absolutely great. I did that for a while. I was really into my Acadian roots and looked in there, and it was great. It was wonderful. I found out some things, God helped me to find out who I really was, but it's time to move on from there. I couldn't find my identity in that. I couldn't find my identity in my Acadian roots. My identity had to be found in Jesus. Yours too. Our identity must be found in Christ. And so seeking first His kingdom means we are connecting together in order to grow together and advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he desires for you and I today, to be hooked in. You know, there's a strong message out about grace today, and really it's a grace that anything goes, really. You don't have to worry about sin, because really, if you're born again, grace just takes care of all that, and don't worry about if you're caught up in this and that. It doesn't really matter. Grace will take care of it. Well, I'm telling you, folks, the preaching of grace must be protected by the preaching of repentance, because you cannot have grace without repentance. There must be a repentance that comes forth in order for the grace of God to be able to come in and cleanse us and lead us to the place where he wants to take us. God's grace is awesome. But we must not forget about repentance. So are you ready to live for him? Is Jesus worth living for? Is Jesus worth paying the price to shun evil and embrace the good? You know, we're living in a day where we have all kinds of things happening. It's just amazing watching some of the programs that are out there today. It's just absolutely amazing. And one of the things that it's kind of get a kick out of sometimes, even though it's all animated and so forth, is these whole Transformers. Those are kind of interesting, and I think of Scripture sometimes when I watch these things, and one of the Scriptures that come up is in Philippians 3:20. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." He is able to transform these bodies. This body that we walk around in, that houses our spirit, the real person on the inside of us, these bodies that we walk around in, say that they're going to be transformed into his glorious body. What do you know about Jesus' body? What can somebody say about Jesus' body? What do you know about it? Perfect? Holy? It's healthy? Well, yeah, it's peace and joy, yeah. It's incorruptible. But what can it do? It can walk through walls and go here and go there. It can go all over the place. It can do awesome things that you and I can't do in these natural fleshly bodies. It's amazing. And the Scripture says we are going to be transformed into his glorious body. There's some funny, you know, sometimes we like to think about transforming things for our convenience because we so want to be blessed. These things are, men sometimes get a glimpse into the spirit realm. And all of these, many of these things get created from the glimpses that men get into the spirit realm. Many of the things that you see in the movies today are actually a result of that. Getting a glimpse into the spirit realm, the way things can work. And this whole transform, one of the things that Jesus wants us to do, that God the Father wants us to do, is to be transformed. You know, you're in a transformation process right now. While you're here, while you're in this life, if you've been born again, you are in a transformation process. All of us. Actually, the whole world is in a transformation process. You know that when men fell, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they turned their back on God, they began a transformation process. They were perfect before, they didn't have to be transformed. But when they fell, they began a transformation process. And the transformation process was, they were made in God's image. The transformation process started when man fell and began to be transformed into the image of the devil, the image of Satan. Right from the Garden of Eden, there was people started to, you know, Adam and Eve were perfect, but after that we hear about all the corruption and the disease and the dying and everything else that took place. And then Jesus came on the scene thousands of years later, and he caused our people to be born again and to start reversing that transformation. Now we are to be transformed into the image of Jesus. The Bible talks about you and I being transformed to look like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to have the attitude of Jesus, that we would become like him and display him to the world. And the Bible says to fix our eyes on Jesus, for he's the author and finisher of our faith. Because if we don't fix our eyes on him, we may be transformed into anything that we put our eyes toward. You know, some people who watch some things on television sometimes about all kinds of killings and so forth, some of the people have gone out and shot other people because of what they've seen on the television. They've embraced that and they watch it so many times that they begin to be transformed into what they were watching. You got to be careful what you're watching. You never know what you could be transformed into. Could be surprising. Rob, you got the other one up there? It could be surprising if our eyes are not fixed on Jesus, it could be surprising where we end up, where we go, what we'll be transformed into. What are you looking at? Where are your eyes? I was surprised. I never thought that transformer was going to go into a sitting position. We are all being transformed into something. What will you be transformed into? What will we as a church be transformed into? Will we be transformed into a body that reflects the image of Jesus Christ today? This is the question that we have to ask. Will we reflect the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will we be transformed into looking more and more like a demonic creature that Satan is? It is one or the other. You see, folks, it's nothing in between. You and I will be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Eventually, these bodies will be changed into a glorious body, just like Jesus. Or it'll go down the wrong path, and it'll get more corrupt, and it'll look more hellish, and it'll look more devilish. One or the other. And there is no person who wants to be transformed into the image of Jesus that cannot be, because the power is available. And if you ever hear voices in your head, if you ever think on the inside that you can't be transformed into the image of Jesus, that is a lie from the devil. That is an outright lie, because Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, you can be transformed into my image if you make the decision to. And by faith, you claim those words that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. By faith, you take a hold of those words, you embrace them to yourself, and you're born again, and you start on that transformation process to peace, joy, happiness, wholeness, prosperity, every area of life. Because when Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly," he said, "I've come to give you all I've got." And man, there's nothing like the life of God. I've come to give you all I've got. It's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So whatever we're experiencing in our life today, if it has anything to do with destroying, with thievery, with murder or death, which all sin has to do with death, that is of the devil. That is of the devil. And so we don't have to embrace that. We stand against that. Jesus said, the Word of God says that when we've done all to stand therefore. Stand firm. That's what faith is all about. We stand firm in believing that Jesus is the right way. Glory to God. Are you willing to live for Jesus? That's the question today. Are you willing to live for Jesus? Are you determined to live for Jesus? How badly do you want it? I like using this example. I used a number of times about people who want to get out of debt. Dave Ramsey, he gave this teaching on financial security or financial freedom, getting out of debt. And he uses this example. He said, it's going to be tough. It's going to take some work. He said, in fact, he said, you have to look at it this way. If you have a child and that child needs an operation in order to live, that child is going to have an operation within 6 months or that child is going to die. But you can't go to your relatives to borrow money. You can't go to the bank to borrow money. Somehow you got to get the money. You don't have it, but you got to get it. And he said, you'll do anything to get that money. You'll take on 3 jobs. You'll do whatever you have to do, but you'll get the money so your child doesn't have to die. He said, you want that really bad. He said, that's how bad you got to want to get out of debt in his teaching. You have to want it that bad that you'll work at it that hard to do the principles that it takes to get out of debt. Well, if we want to live for Jesus, we have to want it that bad. We have to want it that bad that we are willing to pay a price for the power of God to come into us to live for him. We have to be devoted to Jesus and not our own life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom. In other words, if this doesn't fit in the kingdom, let it go. Get out of your life. Not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. Because I know, it's just as we've been talking about praying a lot recently, I'm convicted, because you can get convicted of thinking, no matter how much you pray, you're never praying enough. But that's not totally true. God knows that we need to do things and so forth. But we can have a spirit of prayer come up upon us all the time. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If we're not making an effort, don't expect God to. And those are sobering words, folks, but that's just the way it is. I'll take somebody in my office sometimes and I'll counsel with them. And I'll watch them and I'll do anything I can for them to get them delivered, to get them set free. I'll do anything I can for them. But you know, after a few times, if I find they are not even trying, their heart is not in it, they're not doing some of the things that I'm laying out to them, then I just say, you're on your own. You're on your own, because I do all the work and you learn nothing. Well, do you think God's really any different? Do you think God can say, you can just go and do your own thing and look after your own blessing and just be absolutely thrilled with all the things that you need, and yet there's other areas in your life and you think you're going to be safe if you don't pay any attention to God? No. No, he says, come unto me and I will give, take my yoke upon you. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the yoke of the kingdom of God. I talked about how Roman armies, when they went out and they defeated an army, they would take them back and they would set three soldiers up, and these three soldiers would take big spears and make some kind of a yoke, and the defeated army would have to walk under the yoke as a declaration that that army was under the Roman authority now. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. He said, come under my yoke. Come under my kingdom is what he was saying. Come under my kingdom. Because as you walk under my kingdom, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I'm asking you to come. Enter into your place of rest. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into life more abundantly. Come, because you and I have a place in the kingdom. We're citizens of the kingdom. And we have a right to walk in the joy of the Lord. We have the right to walk with the fullness of his Spirit. He wants to give us that. He wants us to lead us into all that. We're going to prepare for the communion covenant meal today. I want us to think about coming under the yoke of the kingdom of God. When we come up to receive the emblems this morning, I want us to think about coming under the yoke of the kingdom, coming under the yoke of the principles of the kingdom. There's always rules and laws and regulations of every kingdom. They're there to protect. When it comes to the kingdom of God, those rules, those laws, those regulations, those boundaries are there to protect. And God is saying, come under my yoke of my kingdom. Abide by my boundaries and you'll have joy, joy more abundantly. It's ours. Stand with me, please. Father, thank you so much for your word that is so powerful to us, God. Thank you for the power that's in your word. That as we declare your word, things change in the atmosphere. As we declare your word, the atmosphere itself changes. Father, we thank you right now that as we make a declaration that we desire to come under the yoke of King Jesus, the one who has taken the whole load for us, that we might be able to enjoy rest. God, we see that the devil has no place in the kingdom of God. We see that the devil is a defeated foe. He has no right to put things upon your people. As we declare your goodness today, God, we declare that we want no part of what the devil has to offer. Lord, forgive us for the times where we've missed it and we've got, in some cases, conned into doing things the devil's way. Forgive us, God. Help us to turn around and repent, we pray, in the name of Jesus, so that we'll not be caught up in those things. We're absolutely thrilled what you have to offer us, God, as we come under the yoke of Jesus Christ. We praise you for that. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts for receiving communion this morning, we ask, dear God, that you would speak to us and show us clearly any adjustments that we need to make so that we might walk with before you with clean hands and a pure heart. You said, let a man or a woman examine themselves, and let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Holy Spirit, move upon us. Remind us now, as we examine our hearts, remind us of things that need to be repented of. Father, I ask you to forgive us, God, for the times that we've been neglectful, even in embracing the body, embracing your body, embracing one another, honoring one another. Forgive us, God, I pray, in the name of Jesus. We've been lackadaisical concerning your things in so many areas, concerning the kingdom, concerning embracing one another, concerning seeing Jesus in one another, concerning not even making an effort to be with one another, Lord. Forgive us, God, I pray. We realize that your strength resides in that place of unity. And Lord, as we participate in communion this morning, we thank you for washing us clean. Say this with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Reveal to us any hidden sin that may be separating us from you, Lord, and from one another. Help us, God, to walk with clean hands and a pure heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're a born-again believer this morning, I invite you to come and participate in the covenant meal. We also bring our tithes and offerings at the same time as we worship him this morning. This is an awesome experience that we get to partake in. And this morning as we come, we embrace the principles of the kingdom of God by coming under that yoke. Let's worship him. Father, we thank you, God, that you, Lord, are above every being that would call himself God. You are above all. And Father, your word tells us that whoever eats and drinks of this cup, this communion table, in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man or a woman or a child or a young person examine themselves and let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Father, we see from your word, dear God, that proper discernment brings life. That when we do not discern that we together are the body of Christ, and that body is to never walk in defilement. Lord, because we haven't discerned properly, some have been sick and some have died. Now, Lord, we say in the name of Jesus, we discern that we are your body, that we belong to you. We discern, dear God, that Jesus' body was beaten, it was broken, it took stripes upon his back for us, that the scripture says, by his stripes we are healed. Therefore, God, because of Jesus' broken, beaten body, we see that we have a right to claim healing in our bodies because he paid the price for us. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare sickness and disease does not have a right to be on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim health and healing, the health and healing that Jesus paid for. Lord, we think of your word that says to forget none of your benefits, that you forgive all our sins and you heal all our diseases. We thank you for healing our bodies in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we partake of the bread that represents the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we take on his healing power. We receive healing for our bodies now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's partake together. In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup. He held it in his hands, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." He said, as you drink this cup, you remember that I came, that I died for your sins, that I poured out my blood for you, that I rose again, that I was resurrected, and that you have your sins forgiven and have a right to resurrection life as well, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this cup and all that it represents. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over each and every one in this place today in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that the blood of Jesus Christ would affect every individual, Lord. God, that we could walk, all of us together, walk clean before you, Lord. We're asking, Father, for those, Lord, who are not walking truly in the kingdom of God this morning, I ask, dear Father, that you wake them up. Lord, wake them up, I pray, in the name of Jesus. They might see their need. And Lord, I asked, Father, for your ability to be able to be released to each one by revelation, their need for Jesus. So I understand, dear God, that we cannot do this on our own. But revelation from you can give us an understanding. So we thank you for the cup this morning. Thank you for the yoke of Jesus that we choose to come under as we partake of the cup in Jesus' name. And just before we close with the final song, I want to read at least part of you. A blessing of God over you. Proclaim, declare, decree the blessing of God over you. But I want you to remember this in the midst of the blessing. I hope you don't leave here today thinking Pastor Bill really got on our case today and he was really hammering away and, you know, making me feel like I'm a sinner. I hope that's not the case, because that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying we have an awesome privilege before God to be totally delivered and set free from everything that the enemy has tried to put upon us. But I want you to remember that we are involved in spiritual warfare. You are involved in spiritual warfare. And if you knew how intense the spiritual warfare was for you and your family and your kids down the road and all, if you knew how intense the spiritual warfare was, you would never neglect the things of the kingdom of God. You'd take every opportunity to put the kingdom of God first in every area, to put the body of Christ first. You would, if you knew the intensity of the spiritual warfare. I'm convinced you would. We are in the midst of spiritual warfare. So take every opportunity to praise the Lord, to bless Him, to come together as a body of Christ, to declare His goodness. Now, Father, I thank you, God, that it shall come to pass. These people, Lord, it shall come to pass upon these people, Father, that if they diligently obey the voice of the Lord, that, God, you will set us high above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon them and overtake them because they obey the voice of the Lord their God. Blessed shall they be in the city, and blessed shall they be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of their body and the produce of the ground, the increase of their herds and the increase of their cattle and the offspring of their flocks. Blessed shall be their baskets or their bank accounts and their kneading bowl. Blessed shall they be when they come in, and blessed shall they be when they go out. The Lord will cause their enemies who rise against them to be defeated before their face. They shall come against them one way and flee before them seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon their storehouses and in all to which they set their hand to. He will bless them in the land that the Lord their God is giving them. And the Lord will grant them plenty of goods in the fruit of their body and the increase of their livestock and the produce of the ground in the land of which the Lord swore to their fathers to give them. The Lord will open to them his good treasure, the heavens to give rain in a season, to bless all the works of their hand. The Lord will make them the head, not the tail, to be above only and not beneath, if they keep the commandment of the Lord their God and walk in his ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, we decree blessing, health, healing, prosperity upon these people in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, dear God, that they might prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your blessing. We decree blessing, favor, honor upon them in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I also, God, ask for that release, that blessing might come, at least in part, with the release of a spirit of prayer upon your people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For it has always been my desire to heap blessing upon my children. My children are a people who are made to receive the blessing that comes from me. There are boundaries within my family, just as a natural man would have boundaries in their natural family. Boundaries that are meant to protect and not to hinder. So my boundaries are set before you today to walk in the blessing and grace of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will administer his kingdom to those who will embrace his love and his peace and his rest. For the yoke that Jesus carries is one to long for, one to desire. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So rejoice in coupling up the yoke of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. For great are the citizens of that kingdom, and great joy will come upon everyone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That is what is in store for every believer. I don't care what you're going through, people. I don't care what you're dealing with. Hang in with Jesus. When it's all said and done, the glory of God we embrace. The glory of God will come. It will. And not only there, when we get over on the other side, in this life today, it's yours. It belongs to the kingdom. Well, let's rejoice in him a little bit before we go.